In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read this recently, and it's a story once told by a farmer about how cows end up on the road and get lost. It goes like this. A cow is nibbling on a tuft of grass in the middle of the field, moving from one tuft to the next. Before you know it, she ends up at some grass next to the fence. Noticing a nice clump of green on the other side of the fence, the cow stumbles through an old tear in the fence and finds herself outside on the road. The farmer explained, "Cows don't intend to get lost, they just nibble their way to lostness." So I've been thinking about lostness. The condition of feeling lost. We go from event to event, new device to new device, tuft to tuft, like cows, if you will. And the next thing we know, we are feeling lost and overwhelmed because so much is coming at us. We don't intend to wander so much. We want to keep our roots down, have a firm foundation, but things keep getting in the way on our path. Changes happen to us, so we move to another spot. At times even, we can feel like we're losing our faith. We can feel lost about God if we don't feel God is present. We don't try to do this, and we don't intend on it, but sometimes we have just nibbled our way inadvertently to lostness. We are, as Richard Fairchild said, a curious combination of lost and found. Rarely are we completely lost, and rarely are we completely found. There is always a part of us that needs to be dragged and cajoled into that light, and there is always a part of us that is already there. I've also been thinking about loss itself, because it contributes to all of our lostness. Francis Weller, in his book called The Wild Edge of Sorrow, writes about five gates of grief that we carry with us in terms of different kinds of losses. There's our personal loss of loved ones, loss of places of love in our lives, losses that affect the world, losses of things we expected and did not get, and losses that our ancestors endured. And all these different kinds of losses can collect upon us and affect us, often when we don't expect them. Some of you have had personal losses of loved ones recently, and some of you may have losses of jobs, of children going off to school, of health. Some of you may know that my daughter, who lives in Statesville, and her family are moving to Boston. Not the end of the world, but I noticed that my sadness over that loss has piled up on all the other sadnesses and losses in my life. Side note, though, I'm not moving to Boston. I love Boston. It's where I'm from, but it's cold up there. And where would I go? My daughters live in several different places. Today marks the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Many people lost their lives that day, and we all have stories about where we were, and we all have stories of personal connections to losses on that day. Many other losses were endured in the days that came after. And we pray for these losses yet today. And there are even bigger, almost unimaginable communal and global losses that we have all felt. We've also experienced many losses in the shootings over the past several years. So all of our personal and communal losses just pile up, and we feel them deeply. It's part of what it means to be human, and also because we are all so interconnected. In the 15th chapter of Luke, we find three parables of finding what has been lost. And the two in today's story are about a sheep and a coin. And then later in the chapter of Luke, which we won't read, we find the parable of the prodigal son. So in these parables, we see a pattern of losing and searching and finding and celebrating. The Pharisees and the scribes in today's story were gathered around Jesus, and they were in the company of people they didn't like, the tax collectors and the sinners. And they were grumbling because Jesus welcomed the sinners and tax collectors and ate with them, and supposedly included them in the inner circle of the Pharisees and scribes, who were self-righteous and followed all the rules. So in their eyes, Jesus is hanging out with many lost folks. Just as the older brother in the prodigal son story grumbled when his father welcomed his wayward, lost, but then found again younger brother back in and gave him a party. So in today's gospel, Jesus deals with the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes in one of his typical ways. He tells parables. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Now, would any of us, if we owned 100 sheep, leave 99% of our investment by the wayside and go after the 1% that was lost? Especially if we considered that 1% pretty unacceptable. And would any of us go crazy, searching for one coin lost if we had nine? And when the sheep or one coin was found, would we call together all our neighbors and have a party about it? Seems sort of reckless. At the very least, with the 99 sheep, maybe bad economics. But the obvious answer is, no one would do that, right? But that's because these stories are not about us at all. They're about God and what God does. Jesus isn't just calling the Pharisees and all of us to be better people, to be more generous and welcoming. I mean, that's true and it's good. But actually, Jesus is letting us know about our gracious and merciful God. And when it comes to searching and finding and saving the lost, God does it in a different way than we would. God doesn't need Google or Bing or other search engines. God doesn't search with questions or restrictions or in a search box. Both the shepherd and the woman in the story are socially marginalized people. And what they do, searching, finding, welcoming back, shows us about this God who is compassionate and who never stops searching for the lost. Donald Armentrout said, "It's almost as if God is incomplete when one of us is missing." And when anyone is lost from the community, that loss is felt by all of us. And we find in these stories that each person is precious in the kingdom of God, whether a sheep, a coin, or a prodigal. And the kingdom is really incomplete until all who are lost have been found. There's really no 99 plus one, but a complete whole of 100, or whatever number you pick. Because God wants all of us in communion and relationship, all of us whole and healed. And God is all about love and grace and never gives up on us. There was a Joan Osborne song some years ago that asks this: what if God was one of us trying to make his way home? The Pharisees and scribes were judging Jesus by the unacceptable people that he hung out with. But Jesus knows the troubles we've all seen, knows our own struggles with lostness and loss of separation, and our many struggles to return home safely and to comfort and loved ones. Jesus has been and is one of us, and he has sought after us again and again. So whether you are feeling a sense of being lost, or whether you are lost or have experienced loss, the good news is that we have a good shepherd who is in the finding business, no matter what our circumstances. You can't be found without being lost, and to be lost is then to be found. We don't have to earn our way back. God's love and grace and mercy are freely given. Like St. Paul says, I received mercy, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. In a few minutes, we will come to participate in the Eucharist, having been lost, then found, forgiven, and welcomed, and we can celebrate with Jesus at his table. We are invited to hear the good news of God today and to trust in what Jesus says and does. We may be in for many types of findings we don't expect on this journey. We may be in for ultimate rejoicing, even over the small things. God doesn't wait for us to come back in. God knows we may have lost our way, so God comes to us. And Jesus, the good shepherd, an enthusiastic sweeper, crosses over fields and valleys and rivers, goes into dark corners and cramped closets, leaves no stone unturned, searching for us lost folks. He finds us and brings us to grace and mercy, and is with us in all our lostness and losses. He goes from tuft to tuft with us when we wander. And if we happen to go missing again, and at some point most of us will, he comes right back after us with the care of the shepherd who hoists us over his shoulders and rejoices, and with the persistence of the woman who found her lost coin in the house, and with the bravery and endurance of those who worked to bring as many as they could out of the rubble of 911. And with outstretched arms and tears because God grieves our losses with us, with the love that enfolds us and won't ever let us go. We are invited also, as Barbara Brown Taylor says, to join Jesus in rounding up God's herd and recovering God's treasure, because this is God's story and we can be part of it. We sometimes run away and hide, but this God eventually and always will find us and bring us back home. It's grace that has kept us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. We were lost, but now we are found. And then we can be part of the searching and finding team, and we can begin to see the lostness in our brothers and sisters, and to respond in mercy. No Googling needed, just a heart and a soul for the search and the compassion and joy of finding, and the knowledge that we are all God's beloved, and all the angels will rejoice. Amen.